When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
All right. Hey, guys. It's Tom Sharpling, and we're doing the best show in a different way this week. We're in Los Angeles, so it's not live. Well, you know it's not live because you're not hearing this live on a Tuesday night, but it's available as a podcast for you to listen to at any point through the remainder of time at this, I guess. So anything that's not live is eternal, is how it works. We have a great show, all kinds of special guests in studio. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to get it rolling. And I want to tell you, though, that tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create beautiful website, blog, or online stores for you and your amazing ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. You can try Squarespace out by going over to squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off your first order. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Let's listen to the theme of the show right now.
Back again.
New music, unreleased music from one of our many guests tonight, from Nick Diamonds. That's what you go by on this record, Nick Thorburn, right?
Correct.
Can you boost my headphones a little bit? I'm sorry. I'm bad at this. Guys, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm here. It's not the usual setup. We got Brett helping us out. Brett Morris. He's running the board. Usually it's me with my meat hands trying to turn it into stuff, and I've got people to blame. Mike, Dudio, pin it on all of them. Not tonight, though. Tonight it's the man in the mirror gets blamed if things aren't right. So, that's what I will do. Nick Thorburn, you, a.k.a. Nick Diamonds, a.k.a. Joe Islands. So this is your solo album, your second solo album.
Yeah, it's kind of the first official push, but for a solo record. But yeah, I guess it's technically my second.
And that was The Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cut off. The album's called City of Quartz.
Correct.
And when does it come out?
June 16th.
All right.
Yeah.
And are you going to be doing your thing when that comes out?
I'll actually be in the studio making an Islands record in all of June. But mm-hmm. Following that, I will be promoting the record.
Okay. So that way people are up to speed. They can scream all the lyrics at you.
I find that's better.
You're giving them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, get your act together.
Sit with the material.
Learn it. I will be playing it live soon.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can scream it at me.
It's just better that way.
At you, not with you, at you.
Yeah, I like to be yelled at.
I like to be yelled at. Can you give me just a little bit of bed music? Is that all right? Thank you, Brett. Oh, that feels like I'm home now, right? Who else is here? We have Lisa Jane Persky is here. You know her.
Oh.
You're like the co-host when the best show is in Los Angeles.
I'm very proud to be here. Thank you.
And people know Lisa Jane Persky. You are known as an actor. Right. Well, it doesn't help if you shake your head
on
the show.
Yes, that is true. I am still.
And a writer.
That's right, too.
And what other ors are you?
My favorite word of yours, photographer.
You're a photographer, yes. And you've taken pictures. You've seen so many awesome things. You took so many pictures of, like, Blondie, right?
I did.
Back in the heyday of Blondie.
In the beginning, the very beginning, yes. When everybody had long hair.
In Blondie.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they all had their giant, before they were parallel lined.
Exactly.
Out. Because you were in New York at that point.
I was. I grew up in Greenwich Village. And
mm-hmm.
So I was patient zero CBGBs, actually.
Patient zero.
Actually, I used to go there before there was anything remotely related to punk, and there were poetry readings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just sort of anybody off the street, you know, off the Bowery, and a lot of hobos.
A lot of hobos kind of pulling up.
Including,
train yard style.
Exactly, with train poems.
Their bindles.
About picking peaches, you know. And
really?
One guy did that poem. He said this poem's called Riding the Rails, and he started talking about it, and he said, there we were, picking peaches, and he repeated picking peaches for 8 minutes.
Yeah, and you're meanwhile like, you know we're in New York City, right? There's not a whole lot of peaches.
No one left.
Who's the first band you saw at CBGB's where you were like, oh my god, what was that?
Television. Yeah.
What, can I ask what year? What are we?
God, it must have been, what, 74? 75?
So, yeah, so it was like Little Johnny Jewel.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Richard Hell on bass. Television with Richard Hell on bass.
See them all the time, yeah.
And are you just like, ho hum.
Never.
Television are playing. I guess I'll go see it.
No, it's more like, are they playing again? I've got to get there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who else? So Television was the first band that kind of blew your mind like that?
Yeah, for sure. And then at Max's Suicide.
Which was just like, because you've heard, did you ever hear Dave Windorf on the show, the guy from Monster Magnet? He used to go, because he was in a band called, he was in Shrapnel. He was in Heart Attack first, and then Shrapnel, and he was just like a goofball from New Jersey coming in playing CBGBs, and he saw Suicide a lot, and he said it was like maybe the most polarizing band of that entire era was Suicide.
But also mind-altering.
Like, what was it like?
That's music that like just gets inside you and never leaves.
Mm-hmm. It's was it scary?
I guess it was scary because, you know, I've saw them, you know, dozens of times, and there were always about maybe 10, 15 people at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So they never really were accumulating mass, but it was always riveting. And I just, you know, I like noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best. Yes.
Right? Remember that? Remember when they did that? When they did Frankie Teardrop, was that scary? That must have been scary, watching some maniac scream about killing his family. Because he was like Elvis, right? Alan Vega?
Yeah, he was. He was a great performer. You know, Marty would set up right behind him.
Mm-hmm. And Marty did all the electronics.
Yes, and then the lights would go out practically. There was very, very little light, just a little bit of blue. Mm-hmm. And Alan would cut himself and bleed on the stage and do all kinds of wild things. But it wasn't that different from a lot of things you'd see on the street if you were just out there all the time.
Sure, this was just, you paid for this.
It was much better because it was more seriously thought out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are the kind of things that you're lucky you see it, and then you never forget that you saw it.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Exactly. Mine are like, I don't know what mine are. of mine. High School Musical. I saw that live. Glee. Saw the Glee tour. Season 4. A little late in the run. Like, yeah. What was it? What if the Glee kids kept touring as the show's getting less popular? Suddenly they're playing like Kenny's Castaways. Glee.
Perfect. At
the Dayton County Fair. Come see Lea Michele do her Glee songs that she did at Madison Square Garden 8 months ago. You know who else is here? We have a guy, funny guy is here, and a friend of mine, and a friend of the show, and a friend of all of yours. John Daly is here.
Hey, guys.
What? Hey, how are you?
Thanks for that intro. That was great. I'm great. I'm great.
Yeah, you're coming off of the triumphant final season of
yes,
Kroll Show.
Of Kroll Show, yeah.
Yeah. Put it to bed.
Put it to bed. It's asleep.
Yes.
I may wake up and have, you know, a snack.
The characters will never come back again.
No, they're buried. They're dead.
It's like Borat. Like he said, I'll never wear this suit again at the end of the...
He'll never say my wife that way again. He'll always say, my wife.
He'll just say, yes, my wife.
My wife.
Yeah.
Do you know my wife?
Yeah. Like him just
Instead
trying to...
Instead of the extremely cool, do you know my wife?
Yeah. Just... People said that suit, like, smelled. Like, that's the one part that, like, Borat did not... Like, that was not well known. It's just like, yeah, that suit was disgusting.
Oh.
And it really, like, that way it gave, like, this other
reality
aspect to him doing that stuff where it just, like...
Believability.
It, yeah, and crypto racist, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Make sure you smell.
But every race
smells. Be a foreign guy who smells.
Every race right? smells pretty bad if you go to, like, Lollapalooza or something, you know?
Well, that's true, but if you go to Lollapalooza, people of all races, creeds,
yeah, you smell
color.
That human shitbag smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crap bag stuff.
There
sorry,
we go.
Sorry. I apologize.
It's a podcast.
Again.
I know.
Again.
It's a podcast. Look, we're not on the radio. I can't get in trouble for
Goofball.
It now.
Yeah.
But we run a clean ship, John. You know that. But there's no penalty box here like there was at WFMU.
I know, I spent a lot of time in
that. When I had to bounce you into the penalty box
yeah.
and say, get your act together.
You know what? I enjoyed my time in there because I love the show
yeah.
so much.
You're on ice for 10 minutes.
Me? Oh,
no. Remember then on FMU you were like...
Did you do 10 minutes? That's really
I don't know if
crazy.
It was 10 minutes. It was just like, it's like, just catch your breath here. We're going to...
Yeah. Right, and then I continued, right? But,
yeah. Well, it's hard though. I know it's hard. I'm just trained at this point to not curse.
I know,
Mike.
Yeah. My go-to is just disgusting.
You're a toilet mouth.
Yeah.
Super. Yeah. Well, it's fine. My friends, I want to tell you about Squarespace. Look, I'm not technically or technologically adept. I don't know how to do things that require code or HTML or any of that stuff. Anytime I try to do something, it usually ends up with me mad and sad, staring at my computer, begging someone to fix it for me, because I'm not good at that stuff. But I've got things I want to put online. So thank goodness there's Squarespace for all of us people who've got things we want to do with a store or a website or a blog. Squarespace makes it easy. You don't break a sweat. You can do the thing you want to do online. They've got 24/7 support via live chat and email. Their designs are responsive and look great on any device. Every website comes with a free online store, and it is only $8 a month. So what you do is... You go over to squarespace.com. You start your trial with no credit card required. And you start building your website today. And when you do decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you enter the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com offer code BESTSHOW to receive 10% off your first purchase. Thank you to Squarespace for their support of the Best Show. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And I'm out of town.
I can tell you all about mattresses, guys. I've been on so many lumpy mattresses the last week. That's why I'm so excited that Casper Mattresses are sponsoring the show. It's Casper Mattresses. Obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at shockingly fair prices. And right now you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/bestshow and use the offer code BESTSHOW. Look, you spend about a third of your life sleeping. You got to do it on a good mattress. I might as well have been on like a boxcar the last week with this thing, eating beans from a can the way I felt on some of these mattresses. Felt like I was riding a box or riding the rails. But Casper Mattresses bring together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days. That's latex foam and memory foam. So they've got just the right amount of sink and the right amount of bounce no matter how you sleep. They've got a risk-free trial and return policy. They'll deliver the mattress straight to you. You can try it for 100 days. And if you're not happy, they'll pick it back up. Go to a mattress store. Maybe you lay there for a minute, got people staring at you. Not a good way to evaluate a mattress, but with Casper, you get to sleep on the mattress. $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. So what you do, guys, you go to casper.com/bestshow and use the offer code BESTSHOW, and you'll get $50 toward any mattress purchase. That is casper.com, just like the ghost. Not that they're not affiliated, but I was telling you, it's just that you know how to spell it. Casper.com/bestshow. Use the offer code BESTSHOW. You get $50 off any mattress purchase. Casper.com. So we're here. We have Nick Thorburn from... You have like five bands, right? Total? Like five names that you perform under.
I guess in total, yeah.
Because it's like you do your solo stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Unicorns was the beginning.
Unicorns.
Islands. Mr. Heavenly.
Yes.
So that's four.
Okay.
And then I have a project with LP of Run the Jewels called Stepson, but that's been dormant for a few years since Run the Jewels has kind of taken all his spare time.
Are you still in Chicken Foot?
Just left. I just joined Switchfoot.
Switchfoot.
Yeah.
So,
I got all the foot bands locked down.
You're locking down those foot bands. Chicken Foot.
Chicken Foot rules.
Chicken Foot was Hagar.
Hagar.
Vi.
Buckethead. Or no, Vi.
Satriani. I'm sorry.
Satch.
Sorry, Brad.
Michael got Anthony.
Got an actual
Smith.
Chicken Foot fan in the house. It's like, no, it was Satriani. Like, actually irked. Oh. I would say with Steve Vai.
Don't leave out Satch.
Yeah. So, Sammy Hagar. Joe Satriani. Chad Smith.
Chad Smith. And then Michael Anthony. That's the personnel of Chicken Foot. Super band.
Michael Anthony, the bass player.
Fallen.
Who is like maybe the worst bass player in, for just from sheer technical ability, who's gotten the furthest. Gene Simmons and Michael Anthony are probably the two. Like, somebody wrote once that it sounds like Gene Simmons plays bass wearing boxing gloves. Like, that's like his technique. Like, he could play those songs with actual boxing gloves on.
But Michael Anthony is in a way more impressive because Gene Simmons is the conceptualizer of Kiss and everything. He does so much more. Yeah. All Michael Anthony does is bo 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 bo.
I think he owns the oil derricks out by LAX, though. I heard a rumor that
really?
He owns all that land out there.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
So people would be hanging out there. Suddenly it's like a pickup truck rolls up. Michael Anthony gets out. Can I help you guys? You need some help?
Yeah, you suck at bass, man.
Yeah. What's up, my man? This is my property. These are my oil derricks. He's with his Jack Daniels bass.
Ugh.
Because his thing was like, bong, bong. Like Running with the Devil. Just like bong. But the whole time he's just going, bong, bong.
Yeah.
Blong, blong,
yeah,
blong.
And like smiling, he would smile to compensate. Anyone who smiles too much when they're playing an instrument, it's like, man. But on the other hand, Eddie smiled, and he's pretty good.
He also, he
I will say one good thing about Michael Anthony was his backing vocals were kind of kept.
Yeah.
Like that whole. Like that was. Because you're basically talking about a band that has a singer. Whereas if you heard it in the right context, if somebody told you, hey, check out this band Van Halen, it's this instrumental trio, and then they found this maniac who screams over the top of their instrumental songs, you'd be like, oh, okay, wow, that's what this guy's just yelling on top. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to what he's doing. It sounds scatting. Like they could give him like the final track and be like, all right, man, just scream or do whatever you want on the top of this. Yeah. Just, like, hear it. Like, they didn't write to, like, his melody line, his vocal lines.
He just, like, he just went skiddly-bop, biddy-bop over all that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn.
Oh. I love it.
Stupid.
No, I love this. Is
just, I'm shaming myself. I'll penalty box my eyes.
No, but I was. I love how your move to punish yourself was you were going to put sunglasses on.
I know.
You reflexively pulled out sunglasses.
Like,
you're like, it's got to get darker in here.
I know.
If I'm going to be punished.
I see why cool radio jocks, you know, rock the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's why I like Tom Likas and guys like that. They just like, oh, don't you like when old guys get to that point when they just have like, there's like a certain kind of LA guy where they just become like, I start dressing like I'm like a weird 30s hobo, and they just like, like their clothes are very like resplendent, but like old looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they wear like, they look like hobos, like high class hobos.
Yeah. Rich.
Yeah.
Right in the rails.
But they're like grimy looking on some, like I think of like Tom Petty, where they just like, he didn't always dress like he was like, from yesteryear.
Jack Nicholson, he's like the quintessential one, isn't he? I mean, he with the sunglasses and the...
Well, he's with the sunglasses. But there's that certain, like, Don Was kind of look it's like, yeah, we're just like L.A. weirdos. just the weirdos of L.A., just rich dudes.
This is what I wear to walk the dinosaur.
And then, but the sunglasses, the minute you put sunglasses on all the time is like that's like a demarcation line.
Johnny Depp's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson gets a pass, right? For all
if you
the,
can sell...
Because he's so good at acting.
3 million records or more, I think you get a pass.
Right.
To just wear sunglasses all the time.
Yeah, or if you have bad eyes like Roy Orbison.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who our first friend to make that move will be.
Like, you know?
who's your first friend?
Who's the first comedy person that will start wearing sunglasses? Like, think in comedy.
That doesn't need necessarily.
Doesn't need to, but chooses to just be like, I got shades on all the time.
Yeah.
Like, who will it be?
Dice probably did that at some point. But no,
Dice wears sunglasses. Yeah, like he wears these weird old lady sunglasses now where just like they're these
dream Abdul-Jabbar.
Super wide. Yes, exactly. It's like they're like goggles.
Yeah, they're like rec specs.
I could see Kurt Brownell going that way.
I could see Kurt Brownell.
He's getting real Hollywood.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, just sunglasses, Brownell, or all
CrossFit,
the time?
Sunglasses.
I want to do CrossFit, sorry.
No! CrossFit. You do CrossFit?
I've never done it, but I want to do it. You do it, right?
Kurt and I started.
Oh my God.
It's a cult, I think.
Yeah.
And how hard is CrossFit?
Very.
Walk me through a CrossFit session, Nick.
Well, first you get laughed at when you walk in. And then
where are you doing this? Are you at a...
In my neighborhood in Los Feliz. It's like a few blocks from me, so it felt... And Kurt lives around the corner.
Okay.
What do you mean you get laughed at?
You just feel like a pig person because there's such sculpted, jacked people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're normal limping in.
I'm weak, you know, and so it was about getting strength in my shoulders because I have some issues with that. But anyway, yeah,
right.
You feel bad. You
know, you're a rocker.
Yeah, I slouch.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
So you're in there, and there were these, is it like drill sergeant style?
They're actually incredibly friendly. They're the type of people that in high school would have thrown my head in a toilet, mm-hmm. but somehow they've kind of mellowed out, I guess, with age. But yeah, they're very sweet and friendly. But I think that's the cult part where they want to kind of lure you in.
And that's like a Canadian toilet you'd get thrown, your head thrown in.
Yeah, the right. Water goes the other way.
So, oh, man.
A Canadian bully. What's a Canadian bully? I know what a U.S. bully is like. What do you think the difference between a Canadian bully and a U.S. bully would be?
Well, I grew up in a very small town, and my bullies were the sons of hippies, so their names were like River and Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like push me up against the locker, and they would wear like pixie shirts and stuff, like, hey, nice shirt. And I said that to a guy, and he just like threw me up against the locker and called me an F-word. And that was like my experience, was like, these kids are basically hippies, but they want to beat me up.
Hey. But now you're gonna
River. It's Nick Thorber. Exactly. River. Yeah. Spirit, I hear you. Let's get Nick Thorber. Yeah. Oh man, let's put his head in the job.
Where did all that Canadian fascination on Kroll Show come from?
Oh, I was obsessed with Canada because I played hockey when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. You were in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Which is like one of the U.S.'s more Canadian cities.
Is it? It feels very American to me.
I think in a certain kind of... There's a certain kind of like grounded quality that I think relates to parts of... That it has in common...
Yeah.
Shares, it's kind
of... There's definitely a humiliation of kind of like, oh, we're all right, but we're not going to be a big deal or whatever. You know, kind of thing. But that's very Pittsburgh. But it's also like a lot of civic pride, maybe. And like, yeah, there's a kind of otherness to Canada. But I used to go up there for hockey tournaments and stay with Canadian, you know, kids when I was like 12 or whatever. And I got obsessed with the hockey and the, you know, just the culture. I used to like, you know... And like, I'd stay with this kid's dad, and he would have like a full on Irish accent, just like, hello, John, how are you? And I was like, this is Canada, this is so weird. Like, and then he'd be like, come, hey, John, you want to go to the ice skating rink? And they would like make fun of us or how we sucked at skating. Like, they're so much obviously better than us.
Yeah.
But, then they'd be like, these are my friends. And like, one kid would be black, one kid would be Indian, one kid would be Asian, one kid would be white, and one kid would have an Italian accent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whoa, Canada's so cool. I just thought it was super cool, whatever. Cause everyone I knew at home was white, but also like we had like, you know, kind of like fingered girls and like been like very sexual at some point. And these guys at the ice skating rink, they were like, oh, that's my girlfriend who's dating this like Asian girl.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to French her. And I was kind of like, you guys
French Canadian.
Are Frenching? We're in eighth grade. Like, come on. That's not a big deal.
That's America.
It's the only woman here. I'll say, you guys are just so athletic.
Such an athletic group.
I haven't had a sport since I quit smoking.
What did you play before?
Well, that was your sport.
Yeah,
smoking was your.
Yeah.
That was what you were. That you considered that.
Yeah, pitching pennies and you know, smoking.
Just how about pogoing? Did you pogo?
I was really a pogoer. No.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you quit smoking?
2000.
So, congratulations! Yeah, so it's really hard.
I probably need to try the CrossFit or Tai Chi or something.
Did you ever shoot in Canada? You've worked on... Lisa has shot so many things. Lisa's... Like, what are some of the things... What do people know you from, Lisa? They know you from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. You played Dirty D in that.
Yes, they know me from that.
You were... Like the
instigator, tough girl,
the hoodlum.
Yeah, and I had these two guys in my gang, and I felt all cool, and
and you were
I get turned into nothing by Abner Devereaux.
Who was what, the amusement park owner?
Yes.
Like, I don't even remember the plot of that, but you can assume. That anybody named Abner Devereaux would run the amusement park in Kiss Meets the Phantom. Like, nobody could have that name if they weren't just like the evil amusement park owner.
He may have been from Canada.
Where did you shoot that? Where did that film?
At Magic Mountain.
Okay.
Oh, and it was 104 degrees the whole time, and I was like in full on leather, you know, boots up to my, you know. was.
Sure. And you were in it with, how many scenes did you have with Kiss?
None.
None?
No. The only scene I had with Kiss was with Gene Simmons at the fitting.
Okay.
He was not very
when he was
friendly.
Being a creep to you?
He wasn't very friendly.
He wasn't friendly, or he was like, was he lewd, or was he?
No, he wasn't lewd. That's actually surprising, right? But no, he was just, I said to him, I remember when you guys used to play Kenny's Castaways, and he said, this is one of those things, he said, we never played Kenny's Castaways.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
That was it.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
Because Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park was a movie where Kiss were coming apart at the seams by the time they're filming that, and there is, like, Peter and Ace were not in good shape when they were doing it. And I guess the one of the craziest things in it is that Ace started not showing up for huge stretches of it. And then they just threw Kiss makeup on some other guy. And it was this African-American guy who was Ace in the thing, who was, like,
right. Wow,
taller than Ace was. And it just was just, it's so embarrassing, like for a band that said they were like out to give you the best of everything. It's like, this is the most low rent proposition. The guy's too blown out of his gourd back in his trailer, just, you know, the whatever nods going on back there. Gotta put the makeup on him. Fine, let's get some other. Hey, you put the, you can fit in Ace's suit, kinda. Someone put the makeup on this guy's face.
You're on less heroin.
Yeah. Who's on less heroin than Ace right now?
Everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Peter raises his hand. No, you're not. You're on. I want to tell you guys one more thing. You know Mother's Day is coming up? Did you know Mother's Day is coming up? And so many of us, we're all different in so many different ways. But one thing we all have in common is that we love our mothers. Think of all the things your mom has done for you over the years, throughout your life. It's time for you to show some respect to your mother. No more macaroni art or piece of construction paper with glitter and glue. No. You get your mom some flowers. You go to proflowers.com. They sent me an arrangement so I could see what the deal with proflowers.com was. I'm telling you, this was awesome stuff. But my wife could not believe how nice the flowers were. And ProFlowers is offering Best Show listeners 100 blooms with a free glass vase for only $19.99. Or you can up it. Make your Mother's Day extra special. Get a premium vase and chocolates for only $9.99 more. Come on, stop cheaping out on your mom for the first time in your life. You go to proflowers.com, use the promo code TOMS for these special savings. They've got everything you need over there to be covered for this Mother's Day. The flowers are guaranteed to be fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, and they are truly awesome. I saw them with my own eyes. But the only way to get it, you go to get the 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter in Tom S. That's proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone and enter in Tom S. And you got to order today. Do it now. Take care of your Mother's Day business now, because this offer expires Friday at midnight. ProFlowers.com. Now, where were we? Who was I talking to? What? So, Lisa.
Yes.
You're working on, what have you shot in Canada, if we can talk about Canada?
I did a series called The Marshal with Jeff Fahey and
Lawnmower Man, Jeff Fahey,
exactly.
Right?
And I played a forensic analysis, mm-hmm. an analyst, and so I spent a lot of time in Vancouver.
Okay.
And I lived in Detroit briefly, so I spent time in Windsor, and I love Toronto.
Yes.
Because they have the best sandwiches in the world.
Hmm. I love Toronto, too. Is Toronto Canada's America, Nick, as a Canadian?
Yeah, I think it wants to be as much like New York as possible.
And the rest of Canada hates Toronto, though, right?
Yeah, I think Toronto's fantastic. I don't know why everyone dogs it so bad. I guess because it's kind of arrogant as a city.
It's number one.
It's number one.
It's like New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like New York.
Yeah.
It's more like L.A.
I think Toronto is like, if New York is top to bottom 100%, Toronto is like if you took that top 10 off of New York and the bottom 20 off of New York, that's Toronto.
Yeah, right.
And I actually feel like Toronto is so much more like people actually like share neighborhoods more than they do in places like New York or L.A. Like there's actually different races and different ethnicities actually live next to each other. It's not just like, yeah, you go live in that section. You know what I mean? It really does feel like that.
We're all Canadian. Yeah.
We're all Canadian. Do you feel like you're an honorary Canadian?
I would love to feel that way, but I don't know. I've been there a couple times and, you know, I think the Canadians give us a pass for our stuff on Kroll Show. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really into it. So sometimes they dress like our Canadian characters and stuff for Halloween. So yeah, hopefully they think I'm Canadian and hopefully I get one of those, you know, dual citizenship or some honorary thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to like, you know, put a stripe on a blazer or something, like whatever they do in Canada. So I can fly really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some questions here. People want advice.
Okay.
Again, we have Lisa Jane Persky's here. John Daly's here. Nick Thorburn's here. Where can people get the record, Nick?
You can pre-order it on iTunes or on the Islands pre-order site, which I don't remember the address, but if you just Google Nick Diamond's City of Quartz pre-order, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's some questions. Eli wants to know. He says, I'm 23 and my hairline is receding. Should I take the plunge and shave it all off? I have a nicely shaped head.
Rogaine.
Do the Bruce Willis move? Do the Billy Corgan?
23's hard to do that move.
Yeah. I had a doctor when I was 18 tell me I had grade B hair loss. You know, and he said it could take 10 years or it could take 20.
You're looking good.
But it's happening. Well, I hide it.
But what's better? I don't understand the grading system. Is A,
I was too afraid
a
to ask.
Good thing?
Yes. You just
he
like
was
it.
Super bald and I was terrified.
Yeah. It's like, don't it's like, grade me.
I couldn't even act upset because he was so bald. I was just like, okay, I guess that's fine.
And I'm only C.
Yeah.
Everyone needs an advocate at the doctor.
Because you have an amazing head of hair.
Yeah, you're hot.
I hide it very well.
Everyone talks about it. You're hot stuff.
Exactly. There's these weird.
Everyone's like Nick. Well, you know, he's hot.
Weird comedians limping around, like skulking around.
Yeah,
and you get a guy like this in the mix.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Nordic god over here.
Is this guy straight?
Thor.
Is our 23-year-old straight? A straight man? If he is, women. Right. I don't know any women who've ever expressed a problem with shaved head.
Guys can skate on just about anything. It's really the most amazing thing where it's just like,
right.
Where it's like, you talk to like guys, it's like, well, who do you think's attractive? A guy will be like, you know, it's kind of weird. I think like Rashida Jones is attractive. Like they'll think that's like unique. Like,
isn't that interesting?
And then like a woman will be like, yeah, I think like, they'll be like, I think like Dennis Franz is attractive. It's like, what? Like that's the gulf of what we're just like, I think like John C. Reilly is so sexy. It's like, that is not Rashida Jones anywhere, but like guys like get that pass if they can do anything. Talent-wise, the looks go completely out the window.
Yeah. I like, you know, guys, it's crazy, but I like Penelope Cruz. I think that she's beautiful. Yeah. I would argue that she's beautiful.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's just like...
It's just like, you know who I think, I think it's weird. There were, like, when everybody would be like, I think, like, like, I think Jenna Fisher is like, I think she's hot. Yeah. Like, it's just like, whoa, what a.
She's a popular television star. Yeah, when like, you want.
What a, what an unearthed gem you found. It's like, yeah, she's on, exactly. Just cause she's wearing like a sweater on her TV show.
Yeah, she plays a meek character. So yeah. She's not like, I'm fucking.
That's my favorite thing.
And you caught your sunglasses on.
Anyway, and it takes too much time. But, yeah. Jenna Fisher's hot. What's up?
let's see. Roxy wants to know, how do you properly slow fade someone out of your life that is toxic and annoying?
Whoa.
That's a good one.
Why slow fade?
She might be less, willing to just blow things up and maybe you don't want the person to know they're getting slid.
So she wants to know how to sleaze it.
The click down.
Yeah, that's not my way.
Without confrontation. That's what she's hoping.
Just go out of town for a week.
Mm-hmm. That does it, and then just...
She's like, I'll get you when I'm back, and then...
Never get them
then
back.
Then you're kind of busy for a while.
That sounds very Canadian to me. That sounds like a very kind of like, oh, we... Well, that's right. We haven't talked in 9 years.
Oh, well.
Like,
come over for Christmas. But in Canada, they're like, you know, they...
Because it's polite. That's
they hate you, but they still invite you over or something.
That's very... That's a very considerate thing.
I will buy a plane ticket if I have to.
You would buy
a plane ticket? Go out of town, yeah.
Lisa, do you just blow things up?
I don't blow things up. I just, you know, I have boundaries. So I just draw the line.
Mm-hmm. You just, and you'll just say to somebody, you cross the line.
I can't do this. Yeah.
I can't.
I will even say, I'm done.
You said to somebody, I'm done?
I'm done, yeah.
I said that once.
So healthy.
To a friend.
Is it? Very healthy. I'm jealous.
It helps. Like, it helps me, but I don't like to hurt people's feelings, but, but usually I'm not done unless there's something really bad going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time I said that to a friend, where I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm taking a break. I'll catch you later.
It doesn't mean you don't cry at the loss, right? I mean, it's just...
No, it's fine, but everybody needs to kind of look after themselves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, John? How do you handle it? You scream? You ever scream?
No, I'm like really passive aggressive about it. Well, I've kind of done both. I've definitely like... I try not to like just throw people in my life in the trash unless they are, you know, it takes a lot, but if you're just like kind of repetitively crazy, which some people in my past have been, I've just had to kind of be like, see you later, you know, but I've never been like, hey, I am done with this.
Sure.
This is, I don't want to ever see you again. I haven't really done that. It's just kind of like, You try and like drop hints, I guess.
Terrible. And just hope they're just
so,
like.
So, I'd rather be hanging with someone else.
Do you think, like, they're just like, do you think John doesn't like me anymore? Like that?
I don't think,
I
hope.
I don't think they get there, though.
Yeah, I don't think they get there. It just kind of fades out, and I'm like, hey, well, we'll start a new life in another town. I'm the Hulk.
You just wander off. Yeah.
Whatever.
Let's see. I wake up every day at noon. How can I wake up earlier? That's like...
Oh, man.
I don't think you're...
Dude, here's what the ass top did.
You're not bringing up the... That feels like we're not getting the headline on this.
Right.
Right.
We're just like... You can, because it's very simple, just go to bed earlier.
Yeah, he was that close to really revealing something about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Digging deep. And
he's almost, I'm just going to blame it on I can't get up early enough. That's the issue here, is I can't get up early enough. Meanwhile, there's just some enormous problem that he's just not even ready to bring up. Let's see here.
He's got a rat in his apartment. Oh, boy. Terrible. Not killing it.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Let's see. People keep offering me tea. It's getting I don't like that. Tedious. What should I do about my dislike for tea and need to pun incessantly? Well, the need to pun, you just got to stop cold. That just like puns. No.
right?
Yeah.
Pun. Any room for puns?
They can be funs.
Was that just a pun? Did you say they can be funs?
Yeah.
So you just did
puns
one.
Can be funs. You know? I'm not a fan of them at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for some, they can be a ball.
Oh,
that's, I think, rhyming.
Yeah, that's not even.
That's not a pun, yeah. But it's a way with words. Or never mind.
It's like Nipsey Russell.
A good pun sometimes is what you need. You know.
Yeah.
If there's a big tragedy in America, you hear a pun the next day. It's the only sometimes the only thing that can make you laugh.
So just like if things are so bad,
right?
It's like, all right, we're gonna just have to dip a toe in the comedy water now, and like we'll laugh at a couple puns today.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks, we'll be back to the regular stuff.
Exactly.
Like after like 9/11, do you remember like being? I remember being around like the UCB theater and people being like, "What are we going to do with any of this anymore?" There was like that stretch where people were like, "I don't think should we like all quit?"
Right.
This
is not going to be. There's no fun.
Irony is dead. Yeah.
But I remember going to McManus and stuff after 9/11 and. People would be making just the most disrespectful, disgusting jokes. And there was definitely a period of time where I was kind of like, I'm going to leave this table. I get it. I love you guys. Yeah. Bye. But then I, you know, joined them and being a horrible person.
Yes.
But,
I remember, I'm not going to name names. There was a friend who was a comedian around that time. And he said,
oh, man,
I can't sleep. Because the other thing, everybody, it's easy to lose sight of one thing that was going on. It was just like, when does this place get attacked next? Like, that was the thing that everybody forgets was also in the air. Like, every day, it's just like, like, does it happen again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the thing that people are just like, this is going to happen every 2 weeks now.
Right.
Until this
it made it
city
seem,
doesn't exist
weird.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to forget that that's how it felt.
Yeah.
Like, that was definitely in the air. I remember this one comedian friend, he was like, I can't sleep anymore. Let's go down to Ground Zero. I got to see it. And this was like probably like 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. And then we went down. And another thing people lose is the smell was just like, it was just burning
rubber
and electrical stuff. It just smelled like burning wires and rubber.
I did shows at UCB and like walked into UCB and it was with rubber in the air.
Yeah, it was so rough. And he's like, he said, it'll be better if I go down and see it. I can make peace with it. And he was like, he went down, he was drunk and went down, tried to show a company ID from the entertainment industry that he worked at a channel to get access, to get like in, like, hey, can I get in? It's like, well, no, you are a comedian that we can't let you in with your
hot takes,
with your workplace, your workplace ID. We know you're not in the news department.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we just like went down and like stared at it. He's just like, we never should have come down here. This is so much worse than this is not putting anything to rest at all. Like, I'm more haunted by this.
By the way, what did he want to see inside?
No, who
knows? That's horrible. 2 weeks afterwards, it's bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news, guys.
Yeah.
Bad news, bears.
It was bad news, bears. So what are you, what's 2015 like for you, John, now?
2015?
Yeah.
Just you, killing it.
You finished the show.
Well, finish the show.
But that's the default thing for you, killing it, crushing it. We know that.
No, I'm just, I finished the show. I just, I was working on a movie in Italy for 2 months, and I got back from that. Cool movie. I don't know if I can talk about it. I don't know.
All right.
I don't want to be a dick.
Well, don't.
A jerk.
Then don't. It's not on you. You were working on a movie.
I'm working on a movie. I got a, you know, and
Italian
I'm
in Job 2.
Italian Job 2, exactly.
We Bought a Zoo 2.
We Bought a Zoo 2.
Zoo 2.
It's Zoo 2.
Port of Call.
Yeah.
Milan.
Port of Call, Milan. Damon is back. I'm doing that. I'm doing a bunch of
you know, personal projects and stuff. I'm in a movie called Masterminds that's coming out in the summertime. I think it's going to be really funny.
That's a Zach Galifianakis movie.
Zach Galifianakis, Owen Wilson, and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Done by the Napoleon Dynamite dude.
Jared Hess, yes.
Yes.
And, Leslie Jones.
I'm sure he loves when people call him the Napoleon Dynamite dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the Napoleon Dynamite dude. Well, I bet the Napoleon Dynamite actual dude gets it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw, I've seen Pedro twice at like the 101. People I've run into at the 101 diner two times. The two-time club is Fred Durst and Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
I remember you talking about this. Yeah.
Fred Durst was two times in a three-day window.
I've worked with Fred Durst.
You have?
Yeah, he was in me and Nick Kroll made Ed Hardy Boys videos.
That's right.
And
yeah.
He was in Ed Hardy Boy. He was the villain in Ed Hardy Boys Part 2.
He seems like he's all
right.
The
Durst.
Is he all right?
He was super nice, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's a director and
guy like that, man.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to just be like the face of things that it's easy to just be like. Like, I hate that music, and you are the face of that entire scene.
Post-grunge.
Yeah, like, new metal.
I think they just did a cruise, right? And didn't the guitarist, Wes Borland, he wrote some article about how much he...
Yeah, he doesn't like being in the band, and it just doesn't...
Being surrounded by those other bands. Yeah, or being in that band.
I guess it's funny where he must just be like, yeah, I just... I'm doing this, but this is not who I really am. It's like, well, you've been in the band for 18 years. It is who you really are. You're the guitarist for Limp Bizkit. And like, that is not who I really am.
It's like Bob Saget. Yeah.
Just like at some point, that's you.
I'm hardcore, man.
What else, Lisa Jane Persky? You worked with so many. You talked last time about your run-in with Lauren Bacall, which was insane that you went up to her in an elevator.
It's a mistake.
And you said...
It's a very big mistake.
What was the thing you said to her?
We're related.
And she just gave you some total freeze-out answer.
I forgot to tell you that she also said to me, I am the oldest living actress in the world. Did I say that?
No.
No. She said that to me.
But she wasn't.
No.
The oldest living actress in the world. You've also worked with... Who? Can you talk about the people you've had a hard time with?
Oh, well...
What about What's-Her-Face? You know the one, Maude.
Oh, yeah, well, I just don't think she liked me very much, or maybe anyone at that point.
What's her name again?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur, yes. You had a run-in with B. You worked on a thing where, was it Golden Girls?
Yeah, Golden Girls, and she would come in every morning, and she would say, good morning, everybody. And it's always those voices, but yeah, and that was it. She didn't really talk to anybody the rest of the day unless it was, you know, for, like, you know, don't hug me like that, which is what she said to me.
She said, you don't hug me like that.
Yeah.
Like, in the scene?
Put your arms there, this way.
Mm-hmm. And she was, who was she in relation to you?
She was my mother.
She was your mother, and then she said, don't hug me like that. Like,
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Don't hug me like that.
Yeah, your arms go here.
Who's the nice person? Who's the nicest person you ever worked with?
I don't know. I almost like every.
Quaid?
I love him. He's
Dennis
great.
Quaid? Dennis Quaid, the good Quaid.
Yeah, we worked together on the Big Easy, and. He was great. I mean, I love the crew. Mm-hmm. I love all the. I mean, every time I work, I think
the crew, oh, Motley Crew.
No, did like, people call them the crew?
I'm sure some bands call them the crew. Yeah,
yeah. If you were listing off bands, you like crew,
right.
Rat.
So you were one thing that I don't think we've ever talked about is you being on the Tonight Show. With Johnny Carson.
That was the only showbiz dream I ever had.
Yeah.
It was like, I just wanted
to... But you
were
on there. Yeah. Were you on once or twice?
I was on twice.
Twice.
And then I got bumped one of the time. I was supposed to be on more, but yeah. yeah, it was fantastic. And I always think, you know, when I discovered you, Tom, I thought, like, another great host.
Oh, well, that is...
No, seriously, there's not that many
Johnny,
great hosts.
You need to...
It's a sad thing that we don't have Johnny anymore.
But yes. So, but he was nice?
That's amazing.
He was great to me, yeah. He was really great.
Some people who don't like him, you know what their derogatory nickname for him was?
Mm-mm.
Old Pig Eyes.
I didn't read that book. Did you
call him
that?
Old Pig Eyes.
Is it true?
Because he had, whoa, like, eyes like a pig.
Did you get that?
Weird dead eyes.
From the book?
No, I got that from somebody who worked with him.
Geez.
Pig Eyes is pretty bad.
That's bad.
Old Pig Eyes.
Old Pig Eyes.
Oh, man.
Isn't it always?
Just those dead eyes.
Yeah, that's not...
Actually, it's weird. We're here. I'm being told there's a phone call.
Ooh.
Can you, Brent, can you put this?
Sure.
Besho, you're on the air.
Hey, Todd. Calling about your ad on LA Band Mix, looking for a kick-ass lead guitarist. Little info on myself. My name is Rip Chrysler. I've been a very successful guitarist in the L.A. area for the last 20 years. What else? I was named one of the others to watch in the September 2001 issue of Hollywood Rock Patrol magazine. You know, if you've been to any of the cooler premier-level clubs in Hollywood, you've no doubt seen me incite packed houses to the point of wet climax on my Mother X. Some of the incredible A-list bands in which I've shredded include, off the top of my head, Thrust, Shy Girl, Love Purse, Turbo Blaster, Shy Boy, Sugar Britches, Whitey Bulge Her, The Panty Doctors, Wet Rhonda, Laser Beans, Chi-Town, The Ghost of a Miniature Giant, The Food Fighters, Rabid Rabbit, Coma Chameleon, Spanked Librarian, Chloris and the Leechmen, what else? Hot Tub Criminals, Spanked Banker, Splendor in the Pants, Blubbermouth, Daddy Longlegs, the Stinklevoss Twins, Wet Banana, Sex Pope, the Butthole, the Boathole Surfer, sorry. They were a cool band, too, right? Funkasaurus Rex, Nazi Pope, Grant's Heart, Amish Goth Pro, Leather Pudding, Reggae Dandruff, who else? Candle in the Dippers, Japanese Donuts, the Power Pop Popes, Hot Dog Robot, Rogers Taylor, Same Sex Barrage, Duran Duran Duran, who else? Thunder Thruster, Adolf Hitlist, My Wet Torpedo, Food Insurance, like I'm forgetting a couple, Morris and the Codes, The Burger Kings, Megadork, Pan Rampage, Football Butter, Metallica, who else? Jukebox Zero, Christy Brinkley's Wet Jesus, the Spinach Creamers, Pippity Dip, Red Hot Chili Porpoise, the Replacements, Flaccid Pineapple, Baked I'll Ask Ya, and of course, Yahtzee Nazi, to name just a couple. And I'll tell you, several of those bands would have been huge had choke jobs not been pulled and, of course, balls not been dropped by nameless, faceless many. Look, check it out, dude. My gear is top of the line. I play a BC Rich Bitch mistress through 11 PB face maulers. I have visited a recording studio once. Look, I'm not going to bust out any of my sick leads for you right now, okay, because I don't know what kind of game you might be playing, and I don't know how serious you are about making it hugely in the business, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you a taste of a song that I've been working on that is without a doubt bound for at least number one in the Billboard's chart, okay? I'm only going to give you a verse and a chorus, okay? That's all. So let me just crank up the Mother Axe here. Hang on.
Mother Axe.
When you saw me coming out of school, you could tell I wasn't no fool. My cutoffs were tight, my tube socks were right, my cornrows were touching the ground. You walked up to me and said, "Hey there, young man, I could teach you a thing or two." I said, "No way, bitch, That's all you get. All right, and if I find out, if I don't get this gig and I find out that you've used this, you know, heads are going to roll. Oh, my phone, hang on. Oh! Oh, no, my grandma's outside. Okay, I'm coming! She's taking me to see Frozen tonight, which is, I think I've heard is a very scary movie. You know, and I go with her because I don't want to be that scared. Oh, that's still her. Grammy's pacer has two horns.
Did he just hang up? Yeah. Wow. I think that was a wrong number. Well, guys, we have... It's like a who's who tonight of superstars. If this place, God forbid, blew up, there probably would be no comedy industry, music industry. Publishing would take a hit. Animation would take a hit.
Podcasting.
Well, yes, of course. But podcasting would be just...
Decimated.
Yes. There might be no coming back. It might be like...
Everyone would quit.
Yes. And speaking of podcasting, you, Nick Thorburn, are responsible for the music to the world's first podcast?
I think it was the world's biggest.
Biggest podcast.
Yeah.
Serial. You did the music for that.
I did.
Congrats on the Peabody.
Well, let's not jump the gun.
Well, you did the music.
Which is a pun, I guess.
I guess
violent to turn of phrase.
Sure, that I'm going to say that was not a pun.
You're right.
As much as you're just showing an elegance of
right.
wordplay.
Yeah,
right, that was like you. Fred Astaire.
That was gorgeous.
I'm dancing. Yes. I'm tap dancing over here.
You're tap dancing with words. So you did the music for that, and you actually put an album out for Record Store Day.
I did.
And that's
yeah.
gone, right?
I believe so. I have a few copies if anyone wants one.
It's just such a... It's like... That's like the most frustrating thing to just say in a way, just like, yeah, I got a few copies if anybody wants one, because then there's people who are going to be like, I want one, but I don't know how to... And you'll be like, well, I kind of don't know how to sell you one, actually.
Right.
So I really don't
and
have
And I don't
any.
Want you to come to my apartment.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Stay away from me.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
Wait, I apologize. Did you make a record of the Serial music? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the music that I made for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
I have
cool.
a couple if you want.
I would love one. I won't come to your house.
We also have... Well, can you say hi? Can you say hi?
Yeah.
Sure. Rebecca Sugar is here. You know from... you're the creator of the animated series Steven Universe on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes. And you're here. We also have Ian is here. Ian Jones Quarty, right?
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. Okay, you're that guy on the thing yelling from the background. And then we have a super special guest. Not that you guys aren't super special. You're all super special guests. But we have Michael Cronin is here. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Hi. We'll get you on the mic in a couple minutes. So, Rebecca, am I assuming you don't want to be on the mic?
Ian? Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. You are the creator of this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say yes. You
yes.
can't nod on the radio. It doesn't
right.
translate.
Right.
And you you started off at Adventure Time, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
But then you had your own idea for a show. And you are the first female sole creator of a show at Cartoon Network,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, that's awesome.
Yay.
But it's also kind of like maybe they could have gotten somebody else in there before. It maybe shouldn't have taken this long to give someone a job. You know what I mean? But it's awesome that you have that. I'm not trying to down talk your accomplishment, of course. And then when you were put, because it runs on Cartoon Network. When can people see it?
Oh gosh!
Just whenever, just find
Thursdays
it
at 5:30 at the moment.
Okay, Thursdays at 5:30. Yes.
Thursday nights.
Yes, and then you gave me a voice on it, right?
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I played the dad on it. Why did you do that? Why? That's what I've wondered this whole time. And I'm going to ask in front of everybody, why?
I think I pretty much made the whole show because I wanted you to be a voice on it, Tom.
Oh, that's not true.
It's actually the goal before.
Oh my God!
I even had the show.
Well, that's the Dream most before. Flattering thing I've ever heard, that you made the show. And we did a thing. I was talking to you earlier when we all were at Comic-Con. And then all the people were lined up getting the pictures signed of all the characters and stuff. And then people would be, I was like, by far on that line, the least popular person, where they would be like, I was like first on the line. And there's like this endless line of fans of the show. And then, but I was like first, and they would like look at me like, ugh, and be like, do you want me to sign your poster? And so many people went, no. No, I don't. Like, I will. Let's move down the line. Let's get this next. I would like.
I'm on the show.
I would like the three, all the gems to sign it, and Steven Universe to sign it, and Rebecca to sign it. And I don't know why you're first on this line. Like, they should have put me last. That way they could just like leave and just make like, oh, I was just leaving anyway. Yeah. But like, I had to see every single person first and then have them go like think about whether they wanted my like dirty signature to like corrupt their poster.
Did you have your Best Show jacket on?
There's not that Venn diagram. Trust me, that Venn diagram.
No,
that one does not fly. That is a.
I don't know.
Right. That is like this is that Venn diagram. Two circles with a lot of space. No, with you're
in the middle.
Yes, you and Ian are the only people in the middle of that Venn diagram. Well, thankfully, the people who can hire people are in there. Well, it's exciting that you guys came by for this.
Oh yeah.
And
thanks so much.
You're so quiet. Are all animators super quiet, right?
I think so. It's a good thing to do if you're quiet. You spend a lot of time drawing and not interacting with anyone, which is great.
Speaking of drawing, Nick, in an effort to prove that there's nothing he can't do, you have a comic book out now.
I do, yeah.
And it's called?
It's called Birdman and Moth Girl.
And it's great.
Thank you so much.
I really loved it.
I would listen to the best show and draw it, so a little bit of you, I think, rubbed off.
Oh, that's...
I'm giving myself way more credit, but I was you were swirling around, and your voice and the show was swirling around.
Oh, that's super flattering.
Yeah.
But it's really great. Where can people get that?
That, you got to go online, another website called Big Cartel. Oh man, I should have known. I don't know. If you Google Bertman,
and it's Bert, B-E-R-T.
Bert, yeah, he kind of looks like Bart, but
because it's like a refracted version. Like that's an element running through it. It's like a refracted Simpsons kind of.
Yeah, like the evil guy is named Hummer, and Midge is another one. But Yeah, but then that became this thing I started noticing when I would go to zine fairs and stuff. I would see so much Simpsons deconstruction or whatever, and I realized it was such a, I don't know, I wouldn't do it now. It feels kind of base.
Way to sell it.
I wouldn't buy it.
Exactly. I wouldn't get it now.
The press. Yeah, I wouldn't get it.
You got a little bit of the P.T. Barnum in you.
I'm the Canadian P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's whatever.
It's great. It is great.
Thank you.
It's so awesome, man.
Yeah, people really should get it. Now, can we add... Would it be all right, Rebecca, if Michael set up over there?
Absolutely.
How are you? It's so good to see you.
Good.
Thanks for coming. No, you're not late at all.
You just jumped out of a van.
Because you're all over the place.
We just did a West Coast tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Santa Cruz last night. Just
okay.
Got back.
And who is in the band now, Michael?
It's kind of a new lineup. My friend Mike, Nick, Murray from, he's been playing in White Fence.
Sure.
Yeah. He's drumming.
White Fence are awesome.
This guy Emmett on guitar, he's amazing.
Okay.
And, keyboard player named Casey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have things now, because there was a point where, because you've played with Ty Siegel for, you guys have known each other's for, like, you went to high school together?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Where was high school again?
Laguna Beach.
Okay.
Down in Orange County.
So you, isn't it weird when it's just like, sit. Isn't it weird? Sorry. Sit. Like I'm yelling at people. Isn't it weird when like-minded people who are completely individual, though, are like geographically near each other?
Yeah, that's like, weird. I mean, I feel like we got more like-minded as we've played music together for like 10 years. But
so like the two of you kind of fed each other?
I think so.
And you grew.
We just listened to the same records and like, you know, played music, grew up together.
But it's like Robert Plant and the dude from Slade, Noddy Holder, they were like in the same school. And they're two dudes with long, blonde, curly hair and enormous voices that are just like all world big voices. And they were just like, yeah, we're in the same town together. Like, what are the odds of that?
It's weird.
So you and Ty, I think of as a version of that, because the two of you are very, you are your own people, though.
We are.
So
we are indeed.
That's the interesting part. It's not just like your guys are doing the same thing. You've each found your own voices. And but the thing is, but you guys were playing together, like you would share, like the band would kind of more or less, you could rotate who was leading the band a lot of time, right? Is that like you would share a lot of members?
Yeah,
a couple years ago.
A group. There's still some kids that we went to high school with that we still play. Mike, who plays bass in my band, we went to high school with as well. And Charlie, the other member of Ty's band, in the same high school too. But yeah, so we've played in a million bands all together throughout the years.
And is everybody like, are you still playing with Ty now,
Well, I mean, when was it? Yeah, I guess December, we kind of did our last tour in a little bit, just because I'm doing my stuff. Ty's doing stuff with Fuzz.
Okay, where he drums with Fuzz.
He drums with Fuzz.
Yeah.
But yeah, so kind of that band is not doing much right now, Ty's band.
But you'll pick it up and it'll be like the superest of super groups again?
Sure.
That's what it's like. When you guys play, it's like bands get to a point where they're like, you're so in control of this thing that you can just do what you want with it. You know what I mean? Like when you guys did like that Hawkwind cover, it was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Oh, man. Well, that's fun. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's good. It's good playing music with the same people for a long time because you can kind of just, you know, can predict each other's musical thoughts. Or
sure.
Something. Shorthand.
It's like basketball, right?
Sure.
It's like jazz.
It's like jazz, baby.
It's like jazz. Well, jazz, it's funny we're talking about it. It's like, yeah, when you and your band can do that, it's like jazz. Well, jazz is music, too. It's like, that's not a different thing.
It's like jamming. It's like jamming. It's like, yeah, just, you know, like String Cheese or Grateful Dead.
Big influence, yeah.
What was the first crazy band of that stuff that you were just like, I think I like this stuff, and I don't know if my friends are going to like this thing. You know, when you get to that point where you're just like, I like this, and you're just hoping that, like, your friends aren't just like, this sucks.
What was the first? I like a lot of stuff. Like, I really like more pop side of records than a lot of my friends, like a Kate Bush record or a... been listening to a lot of Elton John and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
What Elton John?
Like Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
I just picked up the first record a couple days ago, too. And, yeah, I don't know. Just kind of bouncing around.
And that dude got on such a hot streak. There was that point where he's just like, he's knocking a record out every 8 months.
It's crazy.
And they're all, like, the greatest records. And he's just, like, recording it,
then just instantly touring all the time, and then just like back to the studio, knocks out another
brilliant,
like perfect record.
Yeah,
it's scary. It's crazy
because it's like six. He had like six albums in a row that are just like I think are like
right. It's like a lot of people at that time, like Bowie.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I mean, Bowie is like a 10-year run. He's like a one-man Beatles almost. Scary. Where it just like you go from like. Where would you start Bowie? At Hunky Dory? When, in terms of being perfect, I think it goes all from Hunky Dory all the way to Scary Monsters. That's 10 years. Yeah. That's like a decade of perfection.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
Yeah. John, what's the first record you listened to where you were just like, this is not something my friends might like, but I like it, and I don't know if they're going to make fun of me?
I listened to a lot of punk rock through my brothers, mm-hmm. and none of my friends really liked it. Mm-hmm. So I guess my favorite, I guess my friends liked the Dead Milkmen, so because they were like kind of funny, but like I guess the Circle Jerks and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but I would never be like, yeah, let's, you know, like I wouldn't even bring it up or something.
Yeah, you just like
my
knew
friends were into Billy Joel,
yeah,
literally, and like, you know, just kind of crap and
not going to get a lot of traction.
Yeah, but not that I was like insanely into punk rock. It was just mm-hmm. being fed to me so much by my brothers mm-hmm. that I kind of got into it. Sure. But I was more embarrassed to like. You know, musicals. You know, I was really into Jesus Christ Superstar.
Sure.
Hair when mm-hmm. in high school. And I was kind of like, hey, I kind of listen to this stuff. And my brothers mm-hmm. were like, yeah, this is great. You're crazy.
Did they punch you? Did they punch you?
No. No. Not at that point.
Not at that point.
When I was like, when we were like five, we'd fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lisa?
I was going to say, too, I think West Side Story was the first record that I thought, like, I'm kind of embarrassed that I like this. But there is an earlier one. The first record that I wanted mm-hmm. was a Mitch Miller record that was in yellow.
Uh-huh.
And it was the Yellow Rose of Texas. So it was yellow vinyl. And I think I was probably three. And I wanted to, you know, twirl a baton to it. Mm-hmm. And now it's terrible. It's really embarrassing to me that that was the first record I really wanted.
Well, how about when you're at CBGB's? Because Lisa got to see all the prime era of all that stuff. What was the first one where your cohorts are just like thumbs down and you're just like, no, I like that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the cooler people didn't really like Blondie all that mm-hmm. much.
Okay.
So, you know, but I really did like them, so.
Like right from the get-go?
I knew that there were problems, but, you know, in terms of the sound, it didn't gel right away, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean.
And was she awesome right from the beginning?
She was awesomely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really the main thing, and I think it took her a while to get with that band, because you know she had come from other kinds of music and other kinds of bands, and they were really looking for their sound.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of bands that played there, like the Dictators and stuff, that were really not, you know, it was a completely different crowd.
But was that not your scene?
Totally not.
You weren't a big fan of the.
No, not.
White Castle revival. Look, I got to watch what I say. I got to go back to the East Coast. Those dudes will stomp me.
Did you see the CBGB's movie?
No.
Oh my God.
Actively avoided it.
Who here saw the CBGB's movie?
Hands up.
Anybody? It's so great. There's a point. They get everything wrong in it. There's a point when, like. the final scene in the movie is like, it's like, hey, you got to check this band out. They're going to come. They're going to come audition to play here, and it's the Police, and they play Roxanne. It's just like, I'm sure they came from England.
The original recording of Roxanne
to audition. Like, so I was just like, maybe we could play this place. We'll audition with Roxanne. And then there's a point where like Patti Smith is like bombing.
Yeah,
and then. She wins everybody over by doing Because the Night, which is like so late into her, like, I'm just going to pull this song out that was co-written by Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
And just like, it's so inaccurate. Television are in it.
It would have killed me.
Tom Verlaine's probably like, you know, oh no, Blondie's here. Oh no, those guys.
Yeah.
have to check this out. Sounds great.
Now,
I'll check it out.
You have a record out next week, Michael?
Yeah, next Monday.
MC3.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Thanks for playing the songs.
Oh, my God. I think it's... Because I've been on board for a while, but it just keeps getting better and better. And this one is like a huge step forward from the first two, I think. How do you feel about
it? Yeah, I actually just... I re-listened to the first one a couple weeks ago, just rehearsing. I hadn't heard it since maybe a month after it got released.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds... I don't know. It's wild what I thought was like an acceptable take a couple of years ago. Or I don't know. It's still... I mean, I still like it. It's like charming to me in that way of... I don't know. It's my first record under my name. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no like clear direction. But
and playing wise on that, did you kind of build that one at home? Was that just like... Because I know it's like John Dwyer's on it a little bit, right? And like you... Like, who played on that for early on? Like,
oh, it was mostly all me. There was a studio. I recorded all three at the same studio up in San Francisco at my buddy Eric Bauer's place in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Which was, yeah, and just whoever was, it was mostly just me playing, and I thought of like a flute part,
mm-hmm.
and I had just met Dwyer at that point, mm-hmm. so called him to come down, just play it. It was just like really quick and easy, and it's just a friend. It was basically like a friend's hobby studio, just insanely, like way too an obsessive hobby to the point where it's like a full blown studio at this point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it just keeps going and going. Well, he like John Dwyer. I'm like so intimidated by him.
He's scary. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
He's a sweetheart, though.
Yeah, because...
You just don't want to get on his bad side.
He's super nice to, like... Like, every time I run into him, and then he'll be like... Because, like, my wife, right, John? My wife.
My wife.
No, it's my wife.
Four rats over, it's my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Sasha, is this...
This is my wife.
Why don't you introduce... Can you introduce me to who you're with here?
Oh, hi, Tom.
Who are you with, Sasha?
This is my wife, Isla Fisher. My wife.
It just won't let it rest with him. My wife is, Terry T on WFMU, and like John knows her, and he's always just like, "Hey, Terry," and then it's just like, "Who's this?" Just like lump of goo standing next to Terry, and he just looks at me just like, "Oh, hey, you."
Like, it's just pushes that, your face
yeah.
out of the way.
Oh, it kind of feels like that. Were you on any of those Bruise cruises? You were on one of them,
I was
right?
on one of them, yeah. Wow. Man, yeah, it was nuts. It's nuts.
It was nuts.
Yeah, what was crazy was it was half a normal cruise, mm-hmm. like normal cruise goers, yeah. and half this festival. Yeah.
I was on both.
Oh, yeah.
I went on both.
Did you enjoy the cruise portion of it?
No, like, there was no way. It was super fun.
Right.
For yeah. what it was this thing where it was called the Bruise Cruise, and it left Miami. And then went on a 3-day cruise, and then went to where? What island?
Nassau.
Met with the Nassau. And then bands would be playing on it as soon as like the... There's nothing funnier than watching a bunch of just like... Dirt rock people standing during getting sun, but also watching them have to listen to the instructional demonstration and just being like,
by the lifeboats,
can we just go?
Yeah,
it's like, no, it's mandatory that you all stand here and you listen to what happens if this thing sinks.
Are there people that are like, we're the floor crew and we're here if you need a football, we got it, or whatever?
There was not a whole lot of that. They seemed to be just like, look, you animals. You could spot the people because they have like wristbands on, but they also, it was everybody with tattoos was, because now everybody's walking around in shorts and cut off t-shirts and stuff. So they're like, you're seeing everybody's ink all over. But it's like, Bruise Cruise, like, and they're just like generally unhealthy looking. And so you'd spot those. So then the bands would play on the thing, and then it docks in Nassau, and then everybody goes to Senior Frogs.
Oh,
and then the bands play Senior Frogs, which is just
Wow.
Oh my God.
The worst.
It smelled terrible.
The garbagiest.
Yeah.
Like tourist trap.
With sawdust on the floor.
Just, yeah,
I went on a cruise from Miami to Cozumel, mm-hmm. Mexico, and that's where we stopped and went to Senor Frogs. It was the worst.
Oh man.
It was. And the bands played there, because at that point, I think you were playing in like a super group, right? That year, was that what you did with Shannon and Ty?
Oh, no, I wasn't part of that. That was the Togas.
That was the Togas.
They were a cover band.
Okay.
But Ty, I think Ty played in my band at that point.
Okay, that's what it was. So you were on as you that.
Yeah.
The second one or the first one?
The second one.
The second one where effed up was the headliners.
But
and
Neil Hamburger.
That was one.
At Senor Frogs was amazing.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen. Where he, because the way it works is that the floor is all the people at this Bruise Cruise thing, but all the every other piece of tourist trash is on the outer rim of it and still hearing and watching everything that people paid to see, but they don't like any of that music.
Yeah.
So then Neil Hamburger is up there and he's just screaming at those people, calling them thieves, that they're stealing.
Swine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're stealing my entertainment and my show. Like, and just baiting them into. And then he did a show on the boat where all he talked about was how disgusting this boat was and how terrible it was. And I think he told a joke where I just like, look, I'm not huge on like jokes about sex offenders and things like that, but to be on a cruise ship and then he says, why did the Carnival cruise, I think he said like, why did the sex I think he said the rapist on the Carnival cruise ship. What made him stop attacking passengers on the Carnival cruise? Like, named the boat. Like, he's planning the image that there is a guy skulking the hallways of this cruise ship. And he said, what made him stop? And he said, it was like the food. Like, he had such stomach cramps from the food, he was unable to assault anybody. And I was like, seeing that on the ship was like all time.
That was all time great.
The cruises are the worst. Like, they need to be called out. They're pretty bad. Like, when I went on a cruise, I was like 19, so I did have fun. I was just like in the zone. But
this was fun, right?
Oh well, that was it. Fun.
It was fun. But I had vertigo for like a full 5 days.
Is there a certain contingent that just stays below the whole time because they're so sick and don't perform, or does Dramamine do it for?
Yeah, we played on the final day after that Nassau Senor Frogs thing. Final day at like noon, inside in a room with no windows, and it was really rocky that day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And we followed the puppet show by
Quintron.
Yeah,
and
Miss Pussycat.
Yes.
And so you couldn't see out, but you'd just be standing, and then all of a sudden you just fall to your left.
Yeah.
And, like. A couple spillover. It was rough. And it was fun.
Yeah, but for like 3 days after that, you're just like, you feel like you're just going like teetering on a.
I thought
like,
I was dying.
Things like, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it's like deep.
It's deep.
It's a deep feeling.
It's in the core.
So this record, MC3, comes out next Tuesday. Right?
Yeah, I think I got moved to Monday.
Okay, Monday.
Yeah.
Street date.
It was Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
Which I was excited about, but yeah, I think it's Monday.
Do you know Nick? Do you know Nick Thorburn?
I haven't met you. I know your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, hey. That's like quiet musicians greeting each other.
Hey. Yeah, that was weird.
It was like that.
Hi.
Like,
hi.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Hey.
I'm a huge fan of both of you guys, by the way.
Thanks.
I don't know you. I'm John.
Michael.
Oh, hi. How's
good to
it
meet
going?
You.
Sorry.
No. I'm sorry I didn't introduce you. So, so you're going to just be out on. Are you going to do the full tour now? Or are you.
Yeah, we're going to Europe. At the end of May for a while, and then a longer U.S. tour later in the year, and another European tour.
And then then it will be back to, then I guess you'll, I go do, because you've done three records in pretty much like almost, is it, was it like a record a year almost, is this still?
It was like a record every 2 years.
Okay.
Because the first one was on Trouble in Mind.
Yeah.
And then now it's Merge.
Merge.
And the, I mean, seriously, the record is so great. Congratulations
on
the record.
Appreciate it.
Everybody's got records coming out, right?
I need to get a record going, yeah.
Nick's got a record coming out in June.
Do you guys ever feel like, here I am, out on the road again?
No? Is that?
Here I am, out on the stage.
Do you remember
feel lonely? Yeah.
Do you remember that character you were doing the other day?
Which character?
The Wi-Fi?
The weed guy.
Oh, yeah. 420. Oh, you know it's 420, man. Yeah, we were...
Where you were just saying...
We were a little messed up on some stuff.
Where you were just saying it was just like... Just like
that's the joke.
Your whole act would just be you just saying,
"It's 420, man. What? You know I'm smoking weed." Let's check this out. What is this? Oh, Silver Haze, bro. You know I'm smoking it. So high, bro.
Oh, hit.
I love it. We don't hear the cheering crowds.
No, and it's supposed to only be at arenas.
Yeah.
That happened. I'm sorry I made you do that.
I'm arenas only. It's all right. You can pin me into whatever.
AO, arenas only.
AO,
like,
baby.
Be like the distinction.
My contract.
When somebody's looking at like who they can book for a thing, it's just like John Daly, in parentheses, AO.
AO, baby.
Arenas only.
I'm the Mac. Or circuses. Circus times.
So when do you guys know when to stop tinkering with a record? Like, because you could tinker with it forever. Is that a thing? You feel like
unless you're in a a proper studio and you're paying a certain amount a day and you have a budget. I mean, when you got to stop, you got to stop. You know. Mm-hmm.
But if there's any like home-fi type element to anything, it potentially could never stop.
Yeah, and this solo thing that I did it in my apartment in LA, and I could have kept going, but I think. I don't know. I just didn't.
How does Skrillex figure out when to stop? When is there enough? Boing, go, 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 go. I mean, he's got a unique sound. But I feel like he got that sound of Skrillex by doing way too much and then pulling back because he's a bedroom Beethoven. You know, it's like.
Do you think.
Bedroom Beethoven. Oh, my God.
Do you think
he's
like,
one of those new bedroom Beethovens?
He might just chart with, like, the drop, right? He just, like, watches. Maybe they have, like, a. Like a what's the thing you use for earthquakes? What detects earthquakes?
Oh, yeah.
Seismometer.
Yeah, a seismometer.
Yeah.
John got it, a seismometer. Yeah. And maybe he just waits to see, like, what the physical reaction to the drop is, and it's just like, back.
Yeah.
Back to the studio. Not enough of a drop. The crowd didn't.
It started with just his sister. Just like, sit there, feel the drop. All right, the drop happened. All right. I need to do more work.
Are you ever jealous that you don't have, like, a... Like, do you wish you had, like, those moments where just, like, you know you could just, like, blow the entire thing up? There's just, like, one moment. But if you have a song where... What's the song that you know can get everybody going like that?
Probably the first song on the first record, which took me, like, 12 hours to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually on mushrooms when I finished writing it, so it was a journey. But I tried to do a dubstep when I did Come On Y'all, It's Time to Have Fun.
That's right.
And I didn't know.
Kid.
Yeah,
and it actually captured it, yes.
But it was hard to get. I didn't know how to do the drops and all those dubsteppy things, so I just kind of.
Because that was my attempt at. I wanted to, and I still think.
Breakthrough. Yeah, I still think.
Come on, y'all. It's time to have fun.
I thought that would be the ultimate song. So I started writing a song on the air called Come On, Y'all. It's Time to Have Fun, which would just translate.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like in commercial, like beer commercials. They'd be like.
It's like Party in the USA.
Yeah, like, we need to license. And I would just license it to anyone. That would be like the goal with it. It'd be just like.
The Moby Move.
This song is for sale.
Like, yeah, Moby Move.
Yeah. Just where Moby was like, I sold every song on this album. It's like, okay, is that.
This is for really, Dodge. This next one's for Dodge.
Yeah, you could, like, change the key and the tempo slightly between spots so you can, everyone feels like they have their own version.
Yeah, like. You know what's funny? I just read this, I listened to. I hate when I do that with audiobooks. Like, now I'm just like, I read this book on a thing. It's like, no, I listened to it in my car about Casablanca Records, and they would, like, when they made Kiss do
song Kissin' Time, and they were like, you guys gotta sing for every local market, like we're kissing in Chicago, and then like they had to do like a different radio version, just like
Shreveport.
So like it's like Paul Stanley in a studio going, yeah, like okay, Shreveport, Portland, just like Iowa City, just like, and then they just like, it's amazing.
Isolated.
That used to be how it was. It's just like you make each one of these markets happy, like, and now it's just like, look, these animals are just going to steal everything. So let's just presuppose they're out. They're just going to take it.
Yeah.
So
let's put it out in a weird, staggered way that will fool them, maybe. Nope. Doesn't work. Nothing works.
There is that funny point where it's just like you talk to anybody putting out, it's just like, yep, it leaked. Like the day when it's just like, yep, the album leaked. And we figured out who did it. Like some dumb critic put it up on this.
Yeah, or the head of a major music website, mm-hmm. in my case.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Isn't that good publicity or bad publicity? I don't know.
I think it was fine, ultimately. And this right. was 10 years ago now. So.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
What a goof.
He's kind of expected nowadays. It's just as close to the release date as you could get.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just,
that's the best you can hope for.
There's no way to get all the way to the thing unless you're like Beyonce or something.
You could write some bad songs and purposely leak them, make them easy to leak, and just like, oh man, get people
torpedo your career.
Thinking yeah, torpedo your career.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's like,
yeah.
First
jingle,
review.
Jingle, jingle.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, you see the first review of this?
Van Morrison Bang yeah. Sessions.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you ever hear that record, John?
Van Morrison, oh, that he put out just to fulfill his contractual yeah. thing?
Where he's yeah. just like,
amazing.
Did you ever hear that? Where he's just, Van Morrison wanted to get out of his Bang Records contract, and right. he's just like,
have a Danish.
Quick cranking out 20 songs, and it's really the funniest thing.
Is ever. Any part of it kind of good where you're like,
oh, it's all
great
good.
Idea or whatever?
Because it's still him
yeah.
just going like, what are some of the songs on it?
Have a Danish is one.
It's just like, yeah.
I want to have a Danish. Have a Danish.
Just like, a maniac.
There's a song, and it's yeah. just like, now I'm done. Here's your album. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
And I think about that every time I'm in the studio just to mess with the label. You know, you just build it up to them. You're like, you can't hear it yet, but it's coming together. It's coming together. Then make the record. Spend the last 2 hours in the studio. Pump out 12 terrible
yeah.
songs.
Yeah.
And send it. Very excited and just wait. They'll probably wait a day to reply to like re-listen to it a couple yeah. times.
And then
am I missing something?
Yeah.
next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, with the record,
It's all about my daughter.
Yeah.
Do you know my daughter?
Yeah. Sounds like you were having a good time making it. Just like trying to find anything nice yeah. to say about the record.
The tones are good, the guitar tone, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly
just grasping.
The levels are really strong.
God. It's really loud.
Put a sketch in the middle. Yeah.
All yeah. the instruments.
Well, sketch yeah. is really funny. It's like a hip hop yeah. record.
It's great. A skit, right?
Yeah.
I wish we could get it. That's what we talk. I want to get into the skit business.
Yeah, writing a bunch of banking a bunch of skits. Right?
Like, what if like we could get banking. Indie rock people to like start adding skits to their albums.
They would be smart too. Comedy's huge, you know?
Just to have that just like kind of like whoosh, just like got the machine gun. And like all that super yeah. violent hip hop stuff just like
yeah.
Here he comes.
Coming in the studio.
Like, yeah. Yo, break yourself.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden just and then just yeah. like
and then just
indie
like
rock song
can't
starts.
Money. And then just like
yeah. Best skit. What do you think the best skit is on any hip hop album? I think it's on the Ice Cube first solo
album. Oh, which one is that?
The one
America's Most Wanted?
America's Most Wanted when yeah. he's just saying at the when they're robbing talking about robbing people at the drive through.
Right.
Is just like I
oh,
think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the idea.
I like the Wu-Tang. The Wu-Tang. You got to go with the, you know, the Wu-Tang torture.
Yeah, the torture.
It's
yeah,
pretty sure. pretty good.
The torture where they're just, it's like, you guys,
yeah,
you might want to
also
dig deeper in your own.
Also, Ready to Die on Ready to Die, the one you're talking about with the crickets. It's like crickets. It's like, yo, you got to write it down on your head. Pop, pop. And then it starts.
Yeah.
Give me the loot. Whatever. Yeah.
KMD. That's a great MF Doom's first group had a good, some good skits on that record. MF I
mean. Doom's so funny.
Yeah. any skits? Do you like any skits?
Trying to think. I just thought the Wu-Tang. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah.
Skits?
Thela Hungenjeet.
What's that?
Thela Hungenjeet.
I can't make out.
King Crimson.
Oh, wow.
Which?
Thela Hungenjeet.
Which one?
There's
is
a whole thing about him getting mugged.
Why are you placing? You saw King Crimson on that last tour, right?
Oh, God.
Wasn't that the greatest thing you've ever seen?
It was unbelievable. I mean, it still gives me chills when I think about it, talk about it.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of the top 10 gigs I've ever seen.
They had three drummers.
In front.
Wow. Up front.
Wow.
Three drummers, and then the other dudes are in the back.
Yeah.
Like Robert Fripp is just stuck in a corner. You can barely see him.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, but between songs, they played, it was like the funniest thing I've ever heard between songs. They would, like, they don't talk at all. It's just, he kept playing these tape loops of terrible interviews with the band over the years where it's just like, like, I am here with Robert Fripp from King Crimson and want to talk about.
Amazing.
What is the difference between King Crimson Mark II and King Crimson Mark III? And he would be like, we have one less member. like that's his answer. And then it would be like some guy going like, and he kept, and he like looped all the ums and uhs. It was insanely funny of just how, like that's how he was talking to the crowd, was just through loops of bad interviews.
They were so tight. Like everything is just eye movements.
Yeah.
And
you
know, everything is just so
and then
immaculate.
And they're like, they had an intro, they're like, please don't take any photo. Don't film the band. Like there's, and then the show I saw, there was like, look, I understand you want everybody filming everything, but what a group of like narcs in the audience. Like there's one guy just like trying to think. It's like, he said, don't take a picture. It's like, all right, what are you going to, you're ratting me out to Tony Levin. Like he's going to.
Oh, was you taking the picture?
No, no, not me. Yeah. There was a guy in front of me like going to take a picture. Somebody's like, he said, don't take any pictures. There's no photography. Calm down.
No. And then Tony Levin takes a picture of every audience at the end of the show.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw John Cale in Cologne a few, like 2 or 3 years ago, and he stopped singing in between a song to yell at someone for taking a, or for, maybe they were smoking, but I think someone was taking a photograph, and he like left his keyboard and like just ran up to the front.
People
berated.
People are doing that now. Like, I love berating people at comedy shows. That
it set a tone. It set a very chill tone.
But I went to this one of these Pixies secret shows they were doing, like at the Echo, and it was like, hey, do you want to go to this thing? It was like 5:30 or whatever. And it was just the worst concert I've ever seen because of the just phones. It was just
it's terrible.
Phones, a wall of phones. And so it totally makes sense to tell people.
No, I do appreciate it because it's like, if I'm going to go to this thing, can I watch it not through your phone?
Exactly.
Like you go to shows and you're just like, I'm just seeing this through you. And it's like, what are you really going to do with that terrible picture?
Yeah, and the quality of the video you're taking, it's like, oh, look at some of the Pixies. Like,
I'm going to want this forever.
It sucks.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when you go to Twitter.com, doesn't it, the main banner is a concert with a phone in front of the, like you're seeing the phone being at a concert.
So they're like,
this is like encouraging you to
tweet
use
it.
Yeah.
Well, that's, Twitter.
Ruin it.
I've been at some shows where I wish somebody had been filming it. You know, you go and you go to YouTube to try and have that experience again, like Yoko and RZA together. I would there was at the LA show, which was just I would play that over and over if I had an opportunity.
But it's in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It is.
You'll never see it as well as you do in your head.
Now, Michael, did you have a guitar with you? Is that true or false? Is that
today?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
You don't. It's false.
I'm sorry.
I was given false information.
I can beatbox really, really well.
No, so,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's
I literally just jumped out of the van.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm just
ill prepared.
It's fine. I just got information that was
false.
Different, but this is not. It is. There is no good or bad. We're all talking and having fun. I'm going to ask a few more questions from the chat. If people have questions, let's see. How do I brainwash my kids so they like good music? I don't know. Can't you just let your kid, doesn't that seem like it's like a recipe for just like they're going to push back?
Yeah.
Twice as hard if you're just like,
see, now this is the White Album.
Yeah. It's just like trying to just go deep with the things like,
see, at this point, George Harrison had all these songs in the bank, and then they wouldn't let them on the Paul and John didn't respect him as much, so he ended up with a double album, and then what we're going to listen to is the jam session that they did. It's a song called Thanks for the Pepperoni from the Apple Jam. It's like,
they had fun, though. They had a lot of fun.
We're going to listen to I Remember Jeep.
And that'll send the kid right to Primus's The Brown Album, probably.
Yeah. Primus is Sailing the Seas of Cheese.
Yes.
My name is Man.
No, but you have to give it, maybe you have a cool brother or sister, give some records to them and hide them in the basement. So it's like, oh, these old records, so that they will have a little magic. So they're not at their house. They have a little magic in the discovery. Because I remember going to my cool uncle's house, my Uncle John in Boston, and I'd go visiting my grandparents, and they were just, you know, Led Zeppelin, Cheech and Chong, Monty Python, Jimi Hendrix, every, you know, Rolling Stones record and everything. And I found it, and I stole them all, and I was just like, whoa. And, you know, nobody was trying to
get me into music. But
yeah. You found it. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's like if you find it and go like, whoa, these are the discarded cool records.
Yeah. It's not just like kid with the Dead Kennedys shirt on, like the 2-year-old with the Dead Kennedys shirt, where it's just like,
I'm gonna force this on you, man.
Yeah, like, really, your kid, you're cranking the Dead Kennedys for your kid?
The Uber Alice part is sarcastic. This is guy Jerry Brown. He's actually governor now.
It's like, in the Bay Area, Michael, did you have Primus hovering over you as any sort of thing that you listened to?
I can't say I did. No,
you knew to reject that.
Know. I've never really listened to Primus much. I've heard a lot, just here and there, but I don't know.
Bay Area has either the best or the worst stuff, right? Like,
what's the worst? Are they
probably? I would say maybe like a Primus type thing.
Oh, I don't think of them. Yeah,
Hagar.
Ooh.
Aaron Hassas. Right. Like, there was that band Hassas where it was like Hagar, Sean, Aronson, and Shreve.
I did not know that. That's where Hagar started?
Super group. No, he had a super. Well, he started in Montrose, which were awesome.
Yeah.
Ben Montrose. Then he went solo, the Red Rocker.
Right.
His book is awesome. Did you ever read his book, Red?
I read the section on him quitting or getting fired from Van Halen. Getting squeezed out of Van Halen. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, his thing, I'm not a huge Sammy Hagar fan by any stretch.
But he would be a blast to hang out with.
Oh, no, he would be, super awesome to hang out with. And he was, like, super, like, crafty with how he conducted himself, where he's just like, I'm just this slob, kind of middle of the pack. I'm not packing arenas or anything. But he would put, like, on his rider, he put where it's just like, I have to get one really good bottle of wine, and then he wouldn't open it, and he would play like 200 shows a year, and it was like after 5 years he was like, yeah, I have a wine cellar that dumb venues paid for, like venues pretty much. I would just take the bottle, put it in the bus, and he had like this legitimate wine cellar. Bill Graham knew what he was up to, so Bill Graham would open the bottles when he would come play to be like, you're not
taken this home.
It's a brilliant plan.
Yeah, so he was like super like industrious. Like he was like, I can't make money. I can't just, everything can't be a home run, but sometimes you just got to like squeeze out like little singles yeah. here and there. And that's how you like.
Billy Joel did the same thing with butt plugs. Now he has this great butt plug seller.
I need a really good, like high quality butt plug. I need to sit on it. I need it on the piano bench, right?
MSG.
Billy Joel, Lisa, thumbs up, thumbs down. No, that's a thumbs down. Okay. John, thumbs up. You
listen.
Like
I've gone through
a soft spot for
I am a huge Best Show fan, and I listen to like and all this Billy Joel hatred on it. Like I'm not listen. I saw Billy Joel at the Bowl, mm-hmm. Hollywood Bowl. I paid you know way too much money to see him because I was just like you know I needed closure. Mm-hmm. I needed hosier on the on mm-hmm. the whole Billy Joel sure. thing. But it was you know he's just as bad. And like you talking about him on the show makes me realize like man he just is like oh yeah. This part will be Beatles. It'll be a Beatles thing. Like, yeah. there was one time when you yeah. broke it down where I was like, yeah, Tom's right. Billy Joel sucks. But, you know, Only the Good Die Young. It's a great song. Like, it's they're good songs. And
look, he's definitely an A-plus craftsman. I would never put it that way. Right. He knows how to write songs. It's undeniable. But it's just like, I feel, to me, it feels strangely, everything feels like he's thinking of what type of song that will be. Yeah. For
I want this to be yeah, like
for the longest time, yeah,
like that, like oh, yeah. or like when
the
he
mere, mention, the yeah. mere mention of that,
oh, longest time,
and he looks like Darth Vader with his helmet on.
Yes, now that doesn't help.
His head is a big ham. He would get up. He would get up at the Hollywood Bowl, and he looked so bored when he was doing the songs, and he would just look at the audience, spread his arms, and go, you know, 40 years now, and we're still fooling him. Aren't we? We're still fooling him, all right? Yeah, yeah. And everyone would be like, and he'd be like, he'd point at the Hollywood Hills and be like, you know, I wrote this song, you know, right up there. I had me and my wife Christy lived up there. And, you know, that's where I used to go down to Dantana's, you know, get myself a nice bowl of soup. Like, that's where I wrote this kind of shitty song, or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
He, yeah.
But I'm on your side, like, he sucks, but he's like when I was in sixth grade, it was like, you know, that song about fishing or whatever. Uh-huh. I was like, man, this is real. This is real.
Look, I saw him.
Yeah.
I saw him. One of the first shows I saw was Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Went in. I think I was 13. Went into the city with some kids from school. Took the train in from New Jersey. We get in. Like, first time, like, leaving. Like going to New York alone was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it was like you take the train and it gets out right under where the concert is. So it's like, I'll be fine. Like my parents, I'll be fine. We're just getting out, going right into Madison Square Garden. And then we get out. And then this one kid's like, we're going to go buy Switchblades. This kid, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to buy Switchblades. Like, who's this kid? Like, so then we walk up to like 42nd Street. And then he's like, kid's like, and there's like a 13-year-old walking around like he's like the king of New York now. And I'm like so blown away by this like tough, like, oh my God, this kid is like the coolest kid. And I barely knew these kids who I went with. Also, they were not like actual, they were like peripheral friends.
Yeah.
So kid goes 42nd Street. Guy comes up. He's like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? He's like, yeah, I want a Switchblade. And the guy's like, $30. Kid's like, no. I'm like, oh my God, this kid from my school is negotiating with like street scum. He's actually negotiating with this guy. It's like, all right, $20. He's like, yeah. He's like, you get in. So he, guy goes, he's like, I'll be back with the Switchblade. And then we're waiting there. And I'm just like admiring. I've never seen a cooler kid than this kid. Guy runs back holding like this paper bag. It's like, running, like, hurry, hurry, give me the money, give me the money. Gives him the money, pulls up my friend's, like, pant leg, sticks the thing in his sock, and then, like, runs off. And then we go to, like, Macy's or somewhere in the bathroom, and then I hear him go, bah, bah, damn it, bah. And then there's just like a Mounds bar, like in the urinal that he just like, the guy just like put a Mounds bar in a paper bag and ran. And then this kid's like, this sucks. I'm going to sell my ticket.
Oh.
Like I'm going to scalp my ticket. Cause you go outside Madison Square Garden. It's like tickets. Who's got tickets? Billy Joel sold out. Who's got tickets? Kid's like, I'm selling my ticket. Kind of like scalper guy looks at the ticket. He said, this is literally the worst seat in Madison Square Garden. It was the last row of the upper deck behind the stage. Oh. Like the seats that like by all rights, Billy Joel should not be selling. These should be like, well, no, the stage is there and they can't see. So, but Billy's just like, I'll squeeze a few.
Some
like,
kids, yeah, kids,
$20,000 bucks. I'll squeeze, squeeze some money out of those. And how Billy Joel justified it was that he came around and played one song.
I saw facing us. The same thing, basically.
He played Just the Way You Are. It's like, this is for you guys. You guys can't. And he plays Just the Way You Are. It's like, oh, great. We get the worst Billy Joel song ever just for us. It's like this. And we're in the last row. And then some usher at the Garden goes, you guys want to get on the floor? It's like $10 a head.
Oh.
So we're like, we give him the money. He like shows us all the way through and like walks us all the way. We're just like thinking like 15th row. Just like, this is the greatest. And then just like within 90 seconds, what are you guys doing here?
Just get bounced. Scam.
Like,
oh, man. Jerk.
But we saw the guy got the money back.
Your friend, I like your friend that he was just like, let's do sleazy things because I'm going to be a sleazy guy and I need to practice. He's like, I'm going to scalp and get switchblade.
But he got, so what he did is he bought a tour book.
Right.
And then bought beer. I guess they sold a 13-year-old beer at Madison Square Garden.
I love this kid.
Like, he did not look that old. Like, he still was like 8th grade.
Did he have a slingshot in his pocket? A paper crown?
So, he got super drunk, super fast, and then, like, spilled his beer on his tour book. So, like, it was just, like, one of those things, just like, I just can't, this kid can't win. Like, he went from being the coolest kid I've ever seen in my life to being just like, this kid is just eating it.
It'd be great if he started crying when he did that. You know? My dad is mean to me. He's like, I'm his scalper.
It's all covering for his...
Where is he today?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. There's those people. Are you in touch with anybody from high school? Who's in touch with like tons of friends? You're friends with. You're
right.
You have like cool people in your high school.
I'm just a couple years out. Though. I mean, I'm like 10 years out. So,
but you actually seemed like they were. It doesn't matter if you're 1 year out. If they're trash
people,
that's
true. I lost a lot 1 year out.
Come on in. You can come in. Who's that? Did I do something wrong?
You lost a lot of friends 1 year out?
Well, just like everybody, you go
disperses,
away.
Disperses, yeah.
Poof. Yeah.
I think I'm in podcast jail.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just...
No.
So, yeah, but you actually went to... Because you in your school, it was you and Ty. You're the same age?
I'm a year older.
You're a year older. And you're the guys who were just like, hey, check out this... Piper at the Gates of Dawn. Like,
right.
You find a kid like that. In my school, it's just like, punch the, like, hey, Devo, punch.
Devo. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, John, I know John, I think John got punched. Somebody called him Devo, and he got punched.
Oh, man. What were the cool band, like, what was everyone, was it like Kansas or something?
I remember wearing a. I went to see, and I saw some ridiculous shows. When I added up now, some of these shows were just like, it's like Madness. I saw Madness.
Wow.
With Ministry opening.
Whoa.
Because Ministry, the first version of Ministry was like a super slick. They were like
a synth,
super synthy techno band, and then just all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to be a bad guy. But like at first, he was just like. And like I had my Madness shirt on, and this kid's just like, Madness suck. And I'm like, well, I saw them at the, I thought they were good. He's like, he says, the drummer. He starts talking. He's like, that guy's drum set. It's like, it's like so small. He's like, what kind of drummer is that? It's like the guy, like, and he says, like, and he got other people, like, they were all laughing because the guy in Madness doesn't have a drum set the size of Neil Peart's drum set. It's just like, guy doesn't even have any rototoms.
Yeah.
Guy in Madness doesn't have a gong. Like, what a dumb drum set.
Well, it's kind of stripped down, ska, you know, these guys. Yeah, he's
kind of playing all you need for a drum set, which is like a few drums kind of dude. Like, you're right, he doesn't have a China boy high and a China boy low worked into his cymbal collection.
Yeah. Rush is a pretty nerdy band, too, to be like, it's not like Rush. It's not like badass, like Rush. It's like such a dork band.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
that I love.
It's like, take a look at the guys in Rush before you start talking about how...
Yeah, look at their sallow skin. Yeah,
how mega cool they are.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we should... Let's wind it up. This was a fun show. Did everybody have a good time?
Great time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
We have Lisa Jane Persky. What's going on with you? You're writing a lot now.
I am. Writing a lot. I just gave a paper at the Experience Music Project Pop Conference, and I think that'll be available to read very soon.
Okay, and that went well.
It was so amazing.
What did you talk about there?
I talked about December 23rd, 1976, and I basically took the people on a visual and audio tour of all the people that I run into on an average day as proto-punk.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
So that'll be up on that'll be available online soon.
I don't know if it'll be. It's going to be in a magazine, I believe.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, which I can't. The ink old, is not dry, so
the old version of online.
Yeah,
a magazine. Okay, so you and people can get, you're on Twitter.
I am Lisa Jane Persky on Twitter.
Yes, so people can find all about that there, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Tom. I'm always glad to see you.
Likewise.
In person.
John Daly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm at John Daly, JONDALY on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of just stuff, people, you just have stuff happening. Like, your stuff
happening. I just did a Cartoon Network show. My friend Sean Zales. Is the best. I just did this show called Long Live the Royals that is going to be coming out in the fall, which I'm really excited about, with Horatio Sands, Gillian Jacobs, Hugh Laurie, and other. Mm-hmm. That's House for you guys who don't know that That's House.
Does he do U.S. voice, U.K. voice?
Oh, no, it's all, I do English, too. It's all English, yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's where they get a ringer. What's Horatio's English accent like?
It's kind of like this.
It's like everyone's. So you have that. You did a movie that people will know about soon enough.
Yeah,
you worked on a movie.
Yeah.
In the summer, you have the Masterminds.
Masterminds coming
which
out,
is yeah, Zach which is and awesome. Kristen Wiig and
Leslie Jones,
so and you,
me, and Owen Wilson.
When's that come out?
It comes out I think it's August.
Okay,
but I have stuff coming out before that. But it's
you're busy.
A bit, yeah,
so, it's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of empty days, but driving around, wondering what I'm going to do.
Well,
I'm like, man, why did I sweat this line into my pants? The shape of my butt crack. Oh, well, I'll get a Starbucks. Oh, God. It's 95 degrees.
The worst.
That's my day-to-day, though.
Yeah. Is that today?
Yeah. I'm trying to write. My brother. Yeah.
Oh. Thank you for coming.
I love you.
I love you.
When I was
too.
In Italy, I listened to the best show, and I just saved my freaking life. And I know that you need something to save your life, and that's what you would say. But the thing was, it really did.
I think I found Gilbert Gottfried's podcast where he talks to like the weirdest people ever. Oh. Where he's just like,
I gotta do it.
I'm talking to Lon Chaney's son.
That's like, amazing.
Where he's just like. It's just him talking to, like, Alan Thicke.
Wow.
Larry Storch from F Troop.
Oh,
just
man.
Amazing people. Like, he's finding these people. You like it, Michael?
So funny. Yeah.
Right?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Hey there, podcast listeners.
Like, it's like the worst read. It's like, really, Gilbert, that's the best read you could give on this thing? Like, and, yeah, I love that show. So that's maybe my, that's my best show. What a, okay. Now, Michael Cronin, MC3 comes out first week of May.
Yeah.
On Merge Records.
Merge Records.
You're going to be touring all over the place.
Yeah, we have a show here in at Eagle Rock Center of the Arts in L.A. on May 1st.
Okay.
And then May 5th will be in New York City, Bowery Ballroom.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then just a lot more to come.
That's great. And really, the record is so awesome, and I could not be more excited for where you're at with everything.
Thank you very much.
I've been a fan for a long time.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. Yeah. And you don't tell corny jokes like Ty Siegel. Right? When he tells those jokes, are you just like, oh, boy, come
on. He's got the best, worst jokes.
Those, like, they're like fourth graders' jokes.
Yeah, he gets them off the internet. And
what's the worst one you can think of that Ty tells? On stage. These are on stage, too.
Yeah. The one he's said the most probably is the one that's, what did the lifeguard say to the hippie? You're too far out, man.
Oh, man.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I might be butchering his already bad joke. But,
that's
that level.
Yes.
And,
but only.
Yeah, being on tour, you get to hear those repeated a lot.
Yeah. So you're.
It's great.
Yeah. So you're joke free when you see a Michael Cronin show.
It's no nonsense.
No, you're getting down to it. You got work to do. No, but seriously, congratulations on the album.
And, thank you.
And thanks for coming by.
Thanks a lot.
Nick Thorburn, a.k.a. Nick Diamonds, a.k.a. Nick Islands, a.k.a. Nick Unicorns.
You can keep going.
A.k.a. Nick the comic book dude, Bertman and Moth Girl.
Yep. Nick from Islands on Twitter.
That's right.
Yes, thank Nick you. From Islands on Twitter.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John Dailygram.
You're having a great year also. You have a record coming out in June.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a couple more. This is a building year. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, little secret projects that hopefully will reveal themselves. But I also got you something from your second favorite place in Los Angeles.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a big Hollywood meeting there.
Paper bag. Big Hollywood meeting. Oh, it's cake in a jar.
Whoa.
From the 101 Diner. Awesome. Oh, my God.
Where's it from?
From the 101 Diner.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
At one of my... My life tends to just go, like, waves up and down and up and down. And sometimes I'll go down, and sometimes that intersects with me staying at the Best Western on Franklin. And then that means I go downstairs and eat every meal at the 101 Diner.
Yeah.
And they have this thing, cake in a jar, where it's a mason jar filled with cake and caramel.
Bake it in the jar, I guess.
And, yeah, and you... They have this policy where you get this, and then if you bring the empty jar back, you get a dollar off your next cake in the jar.
Deal.
And there was a streak where I was just like, had it in the room, just like, that empty cake jar, like room service. You don't touch that empty cake jar. I gotta bring that down later.
That's a big dollar in my pocket.
It's a dollar on my next jar. So, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
I haven't eaten garbage like this in so long.
I know. You're doing.
I'm trying to eat better.
You're doing the three a day.
I haven't had. Yes, I'm to work three times a day. Work out 9 a.m., 4 p.m., 11 p.m.
You're doing 19,000 hours of working
out. I work out.
That's crazy.
First session, it's 2.5 hours.
Cool.
I do 30 miles on the elliptical, set it.
200 miles.
Set it, forget. Set it. I have it set at 40, level 40 on
Ultra
it.
Hill.
Where you like have to like climb. You have to like kick it to get the thing to start moving at first. And... Then I go and just do, like Pat Robertson had that thing where he did like 1,100 pound leg press. Like, I do a couple of those, churn out a couple 1,100 pound leg presses.
Rip a couple phone books in half.
Then kind of
forearm
pound some creatine, right? I'll put some creatine in here.
I'll have that later. Creatine cake.
So you, people can get you your Nick from Islands on Twitter.
Correct.
And the album comes out, City of Quartz comes out in June.
June 16th.
So everybody has their marching orders now. You go get Michael's record now, and then you pre-order Nick's record.
Thank you. Yeah.
And thank best you. Show, best show box set.
Best show box
best
set.
Show I got box my set.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A year of our lives assembling that thing.
Joe Matt illustrations on there.
Joe Matt. So yes. Great. So many people. Casey Burns did stuff. And also, you go to thebestshow.net. We got all sorts of stuff for sale. And we are playing a show May 16th in Nashville. Sharpling and Worcester will be at Third Man Records. It's almost sold out, so if you're in Nashville, get your tickets. And we're also going to be recording a live album that night at Third Man, so it'll be a good time at
can't miss
Third Man Records. Jack White's setup. Rebecca Sugar, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
You're good. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me again.
So you are the creator of Steven Universe. Steven Universe is on when? Thursdays?
Thursdays, 5:30. 5:30.
And people can watch it. It's on demand also, right? And then you like to have episodes where I sing in them.
Yes.
Which are horrifying for me to be in the booth. I was telling you what it's like where the engineer is just staring at me for 90 minutes trying to get like a 30-second song correctly line by line. And this guy just looks like he wants to jump out a window as I'm just like realizing I can't actually sing. Like I can sing like I'm like a perfect karaoke type force of personality singer, but not actual holding of notes is like, no, that's not happening.
No, he's so good.
He's strutting. Oh,
well, that's, thank you. So, and you're at Rebecca Sugar on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? And Ian Jones Cordy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Now you are on Twitter. I can't believe I wasn't following you until today. I was so mortified.
That's fine.
Because I was reading about you bragging about your Cal Arts degree. That's an inside. That's a animating joke, guys.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that people were saying. Hey, you guys are from Cal Arts? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I guess people think that all animators go to one college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you don't have to go to college to draw pictures?
No. You don't have to go to school. Exactly. But where did you go, seriously?
School of Visual Arts.
Yeah, we both went to SVA in New York.
Yeah, in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like, what's that like? Is that like the, that sounds that like the learning annex?
Yeah, kind of.
Compared to NYU, it's a learning annex.
Yeah. I was a learning annex once.
Really?
Phil Hartman. Saw Phil Hartman at learning annex.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's when it was hip.
Talked about how to write comedy.
That's cool.
Made me want to do it. Very.
What age?
I was probably in college at that point,
right,
trying to figure out what my life was going to be. And then my wife was like, let's go see this. You want to write comedy? Let's go watch him talk about it. And it was as influential a thing as has ever happened to me.
Wow.
Seeing him talk about. He talked about one thing where he's just like, yeah, sometimes you write a screenplay and nobody makes it, but you can keep selling that thing over and over, and I bought a house because of that.
Right, right.
It was just like, well, that sounds like a pretty awesome deal.
Good gig.
Like, they don't have to film your thing.
All you have to be is extremely funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Phil Hartman.
Yeah. And some guy asked a question where he's like, Phil, I want to say, you know, I do this kind of comedy, but I'm not good at, like, telling jokes, but I want to act, but I'm really not good at it. And he said, well, at some point, if you're going to have all of these things that you aren't able to do, you might have to just be the life of any given party.
That's great.
It was one of the greatest, like, advice things I've ever heard, where he's just telling guys, like, yeah, if you're not going to figure it out, no place in this for you.
Wow.
So it was really awesome. So
And so thank you, Rebecca and Ian, for coming down. I appreciate that. And thank you to Brett Morris for running the board on this like a champ. Thank you.
Of course.
Appreciate it. And thank you to Earwolf for letting us use their awesome studio. And I will be back in the proper studio next week. But until then, I will see you on the internet. Bye.